We need a decision.
Ready.
Right now.
Three.
Go!
Two.
Wait.
One.
In his newest film, Eye in the Sky, Academy Award-winning director Gavin Hood delves into the moral, legal, and political questions surrounding modern drone warfare. Starring Helen Mirren, Aaron Paul, and the late Alan Rickman in his final on-screen role, the film deftly portrays a single drone mission from various perspectives across the chain of command.
Stamper's a British citizen. They want her alive.
They cannot have her alive. Frank, I've tracked her for 6 years. This is the closest I've ever got. So we need to expand our rules of engagement right now to protect the civilian population. A hellfire through that roof is our most effective option.
We have to know that we're legally in the clear.
Hood recently sat down with Reason TV to discuss his movie, the issues surrounding military drone strikes, and why Guy Hibbert's script compelled him to take on the project.
Firstly, I was enthralled by the ethical and moral dilemma that he sets up. I found it incredibly well-paced as a thriller, so it was a page-turner, but it also kept presenting very different perspectives on this drone strike mission. And just when I thought I knew what I thought, I would turn the page and a character would say to me, well, do I think that? And I got to the end and I really wanted to talk to somebody about it, and of course there was nobody to talk to because it was a script. But I thought, if it's had that effect on me as a read, if I can execute it halfway decently, audiences might have a good cinema experience and be left with something to talk about afterwards. I love the debate because I think it's essential for us to have these kind of debates. I think so much of our politics is so binary, you know, and everybody stakes out a position, and that's not what makes us great as a democracy. What makes us great is, you know, we engage with other minds and we might actually find ourselves learning something. And what Guy's script does so well, I think, is present multiple points of view on a particular scenario. It doesn't in any way preach to the audience, tell them what to think, and you as the audience are left as jury. Here is what we have. This is accurately researched. If you don't know much about drone warfare, you will, I hope, come to understand a great deal more, but you will be asked to decide what you think.
As someone who has qualms about current roles in the U.S. military overseas, mm-hmm. I want to believe that these are the sorts of debates that happen throughout the kill chain, but that seems a little far-fetched to me. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, it's a great question. Let me try and give you an overview. First of all, what you see in the film is based on the specific scenario that is set up in the film, part of which is that it is taking place in a friendly country, Kenya, into which a group of terrorists from Al-Shabaab in Somalia have moved and are plotting a suicide bombing within a country with whom we as the United States and Britain are friendly. So we are not in a theater of war. So it's very important to understand that if this strike was taking place in Iraq or Afghanistan, as a defined conflict zone, you would not necessarily be engaged in the same kinds of moral, ethical, and legal conversations as you are if you are targeting someone in Yemen or in Pakistan or in Kenya. So let's just say that all drone strikes are not equal. The particular scenario we have here does involve targeting British citizens and United States citizens. That in itself spawns an interesting conversation because on the one hand, citizens of the United States or Britain are horrified by the idea, and probably should be, that their own citizens are being targeted without judicial oversight in the traditional sense. On the other hand, as someone from another part of the world, it does not necessarily play well from a propaganda point of view to feel that the United States is super concerned when they're targeting one of their own citizens and perhaps less concerned when they're targeting someone from another country. So all of these questions, legal, political, are things that we need to be talking about.
You know, there seems to be a prevalent belief that due to the nature of drone warfare, someone's using a joystick thousands of miles away, that perhaps it has so separated the actor from the actions that this is a new age of video game warfare, essentially. Your film does not seem to subscribe to that notion.
Yes, the simple answer to that question is that as our military advisor, drone pilot stroke F-16 pilot who had flown in the Iraq war said to me, Gavin, when I used to fly in Iraq, yes, there was a limited fear of being shot down. It was unlikely, but it was there. So that fueled a certain adrenaline. But I could drop my payload and leave. And now as a drone pilot, although I don't have the physical risk. I'm not going to get shot down. But I am in this claustrophobic space for up to 14, 16 hours a day if an operation's going over, or it's certainly 8 to 12 hours. And I have to not only target, but I then have to stay and identify bodies and hover over the destruction and really own what I did. And even if I feel what I did was necessary, it's very traumatic to be looking at body parts and trying to identify. And these pilots find that distressing. And maybe they should on one level, because it makes you accountable. It's not some grainy, you know, that dreadful word that some pilots used on those tapes that were leaked, bug splat. This is a human life. And I think as we see these images more clearly through technology, it becomes harder and harder to see it as just a video game or as a bug splat. And we shouldn't.
You mentioned drones as an unsettling weapon. Mm. What do you mean by unsettling?
Well, drones are unsettling because we are only at the beginning of where this kind of warfare is going. You see in the movie the Reaper drone that most people know with the Hellfire missiles, watching from 15 or 20,000 feet. You also see a little bird that some people say, is that real? Well, if you go on YouTube, you'll find that the hummingbird with a little, designed to look like a hummingbird with a camera, was put up on YouTube by a defense contractor, I think almost 5 years ago. That technology is still being developed and refined, and especially the tiny bug drone, these micro drones. I'm worried that our film will be out of date if we're not careful, because in the film, the micro drone is only used to send back visuals. It's not armed. These micro drones are very easy to weaponize. And the next step is that the little micro drone targets you, perhaps with face recognition software. As a swarm, we send them into a place, we know who we're looking for, it finds you, blows a little anthrax up your nose as it flies by, or detonates. Where is this going? And it's not, one doesn't want to use it as sort of scare tactics. It is where it's going. What legal framework will govern this new world of automated warfare? And what framework governs that? And are we all going to be living under permanent drone surveillance in the interests of security? These trade-offs are important conversations to have, I think.
The start of your movie is a famous line from Aeschylus,
yes.
In war, truth is the first casualty. How do you think that quote fits in with your film?
Thank you. Yeah, well, the truth is very hard to get at for us as individuals, not because we're not interested in the truth, but because we all see the world with a particular background and from a particular position. And one of the great things in the film is that each of the characters in the film is, in a sense, true to the position they occupy. Helen Mirren has been tracking a particular terrorist for 6 years. I spoke to military intelligence officers, some of whom have been tracking people for 10 years. And they said to me, one in particular said to me, Gavin, you know, in this job, when I've been watching someone do what I consider to be terrible things, and I've been watching them and unable to stop it, I don't even pretend that I can be objective in certain moments. That's why I need the military lawyer, for example, to step in and give me guidance, because sometimes I just, quote, want this person off my list. From the perspective of the foreign secretary who's being asked to approve this, who will have to answer to the British public, which Helen Mirren's character won't have to do.
Right.
She goes home. Her world is private in a sense. He will answer to the public. So he has a different perspective. Yes, we might eliminate this particular terrorist, but if we take innocent life in the process, what's the political blowback from that? That's not a touchy-feely question. That's a very important question, even from a strategic point of view. Does this help us win over a foreign population to our way of thinking in order to win the big battle? Or does it create a greater problem? And that's an important question, and not a question that is necessarily on the mind of Helen Mirren in the way that it's on the mind of, say, Ian Glenn, who plays the Foreign Secretary.
When you were 17, you were conscripted into the South African Army.
Yeah.
How does that inform this film?
It's going back a while. I think I was a little naive, as many young people are at 17, about what military service would mean. I lost a friend in Angola who was a close school friend. I was not there when he died, but it had a profound effect on me in terms of, you know, a sudden sense of mortality and a beginning of questioning as to what is the nature of this war? What conflict are we actually involved with? And so I think, having been in the military, I am interested in themes that explore the grayer zone, if you like. I don't think the world should be divided into good versus evil, and I think this idea of this simplistic approach of I'm right, they're wrong, is not helpful in terms of strategically winning a what is currently in the world a very significant conflict.
A final question, what do you hope people will walk away from the film thinking and talking about?
I just hope they have a really great discussion. I don't know what the answer is. I think this is an evolving conversation, and I hope that if an audience goes into this film not knowing much about drones, they will come out more informed, they will come out having experienced a good movie and a good thriller, but they'll also be left with a lot to talk about.